In our second session, and by the way, this is lesson 400 in the Christian Way of Life series. In our second session, we take up the second paragraph of the sixth transfer deposit. We have the grace didactics, which are noted here. We have the beneficial deposit and the pastoral cash. We noted the beneficial deposit in the first session, noted in 2 Timothy 1, verse 14. Keep on guarding that beneficial deposit through the agency of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Now we undertake paragraph B, the pastoral cash. Point one. It is obvious that Timothy is the pastoral cash from the context. I don't want to go into a long review because that comes up Tuesday. But when you have divine thought in Paul's soul, he has got the mold, the pattern or the die established down in his neural network. Now the mandate is for him as an apostle, as a person whose duty before God is to help establish New Testament churches, to reduce the eternal logos to the written logos, and to instruct and mold next generation's body of pastors. He has to replicate this. He has to make a transfer deposit. And it's going to go in a cash, and the cash is the soul and the brain in this context of Timothy. And so it's obvious that Timothy is the pastoral cash in the context. Point two. Paul issues Timothy additional mandates regarding his responsibility to the second generation of the church age. There are several mandates, and we'll note them. And we will restrain our research to 2 Timothy. We could go throughout the Scriptures and note these kinds of mandates, but we'll note Timothy in particular, and we'll keep it relegated to 2 Timothy. Now, Paul is going to issue Timothy additional mandates regarding his responsibility to the second generation of the church age. Please note 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He says there, "The things which you have heard from me." That's akouo again. It's accusative. It means that Timothy heard and understood. "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these things entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now you see the transfer taking place here. Take what you have heard from me. There's a transfer there. That is the beneficial deposit into the pastoral cash. Take the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. These things which you now have in your neural network, entrust to faithful men who also will be able to teach others. So you continue to replicate the information from the eternal logos. I would like to note some things in this verse, a couple of concepts. First of all, the word translated entrust. It is paratithemi. P-A-R-A-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. Paratithemi. And here's what that means. First of all, it's an aorist middle imperative. And in the middle voice, paratithemi means to give over, to entrust something to someone for safekeeping. These things entrust to faithful men. Timothy has received the deposit. He has an exact replica of what Paul knew. Paul has an exact replica of what Christ knows. Christ has an exact replica in his neural network through humanity of the eternal logos. Timothy has that now. He is to entrust that to other faithful men who may also teach others. Now the word entrust here, paratithemi, middle voice, it means to give over, to entrust something to someone for safekeeping, the transmission of something to others. It also means to entrust something to the care or the protection of someone. That is a precise definition of the word deposit, which we've examined in the past. To entrust, to deposit. You are to make the very same deposit. You have the pattern, the mold, the die. You are to replicate it in the souls of what's called here faithful men, pistos anthropos, faithful men. And then they, with this same replication, can then teach others. Very important to us because this was 2,000 years ago. We've got the same data they had. How did this work? We're learning how it works. And that's 2 Timothy 2. Now, Paul's deposit is now Timothy's. Timothy must now facilitate what he has from Paul by studying Paul. How does he do that? Paul's head is going to hit the floor in about 6 weeks, 2 months. How is he going to continue to facilitate Paul? Because Paul, being an apostle, is going to reduce the eternal logos. Remember, logos is the Greek word for word. And word here makes reference to the content of divine thought. And the eternal logos is absolute truth known only to God. Do you want to know what the foundational thought is for any human rationale whereby results may consistently occur to your advantage? Then you must plug into absolute thought, and that is knowledge of what God knows. And we've been through a process now of how God says, I'm going to take what I know, and not only am I going to make it available to man, I am going to construct a system through which man will be able not only to understand it, but utilize it in problem-solving, decision-making, and spiritual growth. All of this will occur, and Christ is going to be the central issue. Now, Paul has the eternal logos in his brain, and he's going to reduce it to the written logos. So Timothy must facilitate by studying Paul, and he studies the written logos. Your duty as a believer in Jesus Christ, under the filling of the Holy Spirit, when you come to this Bible class, is to be constantly aware of the written logos. You are not to replicate things I say. You are to replicate things God says. It's my duty to communicate it to you as best I can, but my duty is to get the living logos into my stream of consciousness and then to communicate it to you under a spiritual gift called pastor-teacher. You take it, you verify it through the filling of the Holy Spirit and your own personal study. And when you're convinced in your own mind that this is the Word of God, then you are challenged to accept or reject it. But you are not a follower of me. You're a follower of the Word of God, the written Word, which is the replication of the living Word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are too many people who have their own disciples, people who follow them, a follower of Fred Jones or a follower of this other guy. They are not qualified to have any followers. They're not apostles. They're only pastors. They've received the replication. They're in the mandate to replicate to others. What is it that keeps everything on the up and up? What is it that ensures the replication is precise and accurate and may be compared favorably with the eternal logos? It is God the Holy Spirit who ensures the fact that the transfer deposit is done properly. That the ledgers of balance. You have the eternal logos on the left and you have your neural network on the right and they match. Who is it that ensures that occurs consistently throughout the centuries? It is God the Holy Spirit within the system. And so pastors have no room to get arrogant. Now, John 3:16, verse 13 says to us that the New Testament is the source of all truth and the Holy Spirit is the one who keeps it accurate. Christ told us,
through the Scripture, he told his apostles, I am about to leave you now. This is on the evening he was about to be arrested. And we've read this passage this morning. And in a nutshell, it says this, I've got a lot more to tell you. There are more things you need to know and understand. There are many things that need to be taught to you. I don't have time to do it now. But later on, and it was referenced to the church age and the indwelling and teaching ministries of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of doctrine will come and He will teach you all things, all doctrines, all of the doctrine that is necessary for us to know to be good soldiers for Christ has been reduced to writing in the New Testament epistles, as well as the peripheral books which are important, the historical book of Acts and the Apocalypse of John. All of it is available to us. There are no addenda. And John 16:13 says that all truth is under the ministry and the supervision of God the Holy Spirit, and He is the one that ensures that all transfer deposits are done accurately. And we spent 1996 describing how that's done. There are no new revelations. We have Muhammad Ali, who came up with all of his visions. God knows what kind of demons possessed him. And we come up with the Quran. That is not an addendum to the New Testament epistles. We have the Hindu. They've come up with a sacred writing called the Veda. It is not an addendum to the New Testament epistles. We have the musings of human good and evil, which were propagated by Gandhi. They are not an addendum to the New Testament epistles. Now, there are a lot of people out there who would like to add to. I mean, for example, just down the road here, we have the whitened sepulcher filled with dead men's bones, with Boney Maroney blowing his horn off the roof. They have their addenda. There are two for that crowd. The Book of Mormon and Doctrines and Covenants, I think it's called. And old Joe Smith unearthed that under a rock in New York State on the backside of somebody's farm. And then Boney came by and interpreted for us all. And they became addenda to the New Testament. Another, get this, the TV propaganda tells us another revelation of Jesus Christ. That is a bold-faced lie. It says it right there by our Lord in John 16:13. All truth is revealed in the New Testament epistles. There is no addenda. My diatribe is over, but I must constantly point these things out, for if you're going to defend your souls, if you're going to guard the beneficial deposit, you must not permit other deposits to be made and acquire within your thought process equal standing with the eternal Logos, which God has placed within your neural network. You are not defending the faith. You are not running the race, and you will not receive the prize, and you won't get to Santa Fe. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these things, these doctrines, entrust to faithful men, not those deluded by the lie of the day, who will then be able, as a result of having acquired the deposit, who will then be able to teach others. And we might add in verse 3, you are to absorb your share of suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You can stand fast on this principle and know it will occur. If you subscribe to the eternal Logos by studying the written Logos and you adjust your life accordingly, others are not going to like it. And you will be the butt of hatred. You will be the target of their vilification and vituperation. And you may even become a person who is illegal in our evolving zeitgeist. But your duty is to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ and to absorb your share of suffering, because you made a stand not only to learn the written Logos, but to execute the living Logos. There will be suffering to come your way. Crescit sub pondere virtus, virtue increases beneath oppression. And if you crack under pressure, there will be no blessings because you won't get to Santa Fe and you will not guard the beneficial deposit and God will not put up with it. There will be goads to pay. Verse 15. Another comment to Timothy from Paul. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Handling accurately. Now, Timothy's a teacher. He's a pastor teacher with a congregation. His major congregation is in Ephesus. And he has got to replicate Paul's neural network into theirs. He's learned it from Paul. He's got it. He's the pattern mold or die. Now they must have it. How's he going to do it? By handling accurately the word of truth. Truth is aletheia. It references back to the content of the eternal Logos. The word of truth. Logos plus aletheia. That is absolute truth from the mind of God. And it is reduced to writing in the living Logos. That is the source of a pastor's research. It is the Bible. And everything must be interpreted from the source of the Bible first. Then you analyze. You get a correct translation from the Greek. Then you analyze. You develop your doctrines from the translation. And as we go through a passage, we come up on words that we must stop and examine them. Why? The Bible dictates what we study next. I have no idea what the next stop on the trail is going to reveal. By the way, we get back on the trail Thursday. And then we'll ride a little bit, and we have a lot of information to reveal on the trail. A lot of experiences on the Cimarron Cutoff. And as we go on the Cimarron Cutoff, we're going into the Hornada. This is that desert between the Arkansas and Cimarron Rivers. And when you get out into that, there are all kinds of little problems that are going to emerge, and it means your logistics are going to be cut off temporarily. Can you survive without logistics for a while? And so you may get a little drift of one of the doctrines we may note before we're done with the Hornada. But what do we do next? We take our cue from our advance to Santa Fe, and we see what these pioneers experienced, and then we make a spiritual application to it. That will throw us into a passage of Scripture, and the Scripture will dictate what we study. I wish I'd never used the term did not coin but utilized, rabbit trail. I've never been on a rabbit trail. The Scripture dictates what we study next. It is not a rabbit trail. There are no rabbit trails in a tapestry. Everything is interwoven and interlocked and intermeshed so that in the end there's this beautiful portrait of the plan of God. There are no individual slats and planks that may be taken out without damage to the whole. Therefore, there are no rabbit trails. The Scripture dictates what we study next so that it all might be illuminated in the end. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately Logos aletheia, the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. You followed my teachings, conduct, purpose, faith, etc. Note that Timothy is said by Paul in chapter 3 to have followed Paul's teachings. Verse 14. Continue in the things you have learned. You've learned the eternal Logos from my teaching ministry. You've made the replication. Continue in the things you've learned and which you have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Where did he get the information? From Paul. How is he going to continue to replicate and facilitate? He's going to have to study what Paul wrote, which is the living Logos, the Word of God. Let's note 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom. And then the mandate kicks off verse 2, teach the word. Kerusso logos. The word teach is kerusso, then we have logos. Kerusso means teach. It is in the ingressive aorist and therefore means that he is to begin a process. The ingressive aorist means to begin a process. The active voice means that Timothy is to produce the action of teaching, and it is an imperative mood. It is a command from Paul to Timothy to begin teaching doctrine, the logos, to his congregation. 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. His objective was to take truth to the Gentiles. The proclamation has been fully accomplished. The New Testament has been completed. The Gentiles have available to them all of the information they need to know. Other apostles had the duties of taking the information to the Jewish community. Both are one in Christ Jesus. Point 3. Timothy has received a facilitated neural network. He's in Santa Fe. It is a replication of the very same eternal logos possessed by Paul. Very same. How do we know? Grace apparatus for perception, power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe it, the Holy Spirit lays the wheel track, not you. Exact replication. Timothy has received then a facilitated neural network. It is a replication of the same eternal logos possessed by Paul, who received his from personal study under the Lord's ministry. Paul received his facilitation under personal study. See, he went to heaven, went to seminary. He got the information and he came back and spent 17 years studying what he knew and organizing his theology. Now he's ready to write scripture and teach doctrine. 4. Under the principle of grace didactics, each person was able to go from status quo tabula rasa at physical birth all the way to a personal knowledge of the eternal logos. Now that's the awesome thing about this, is that all of us are born into this life tabula rasa in our souls. We know nothing. Try to talk to a newborn baby. Jim's baby coming today. And Jim can walk up and he's going to think that's the greatest thing he ever saw. That little, is it a boy or a girl? Do they know? He's got a grandson. Well, he's going to obviously think that this is the genius of the day. And Jim will walk up there and start talking to this little baby. Have they named it yet? Mitchell. Spencer. And he's going to start talking to Spencer. Spencer this, Spencer that. Now, Jim may think this, but do you believe that Spencer is going to respond in any way? That Spencer will discuss the issues of the day? That he will discuss with him the intricacies of theology, politics, quantum mechanics? Jim probably has an idea that Spencer is going to come up with some gem by nightfall, but it's not going to happen. Now, why is it? If we could open up and visually peer into the soul of little Spencer, we would find it to be tabula rasa, a blank slate. There's nothing in there. Empty. And the same was true for the rest of us. Now, the question arises, how do you ever get anything in there? Didactics. Teachers teach, starting with parents, and students learn. They accept or they reject. And we move through life this way. And ultimately, there's the ultimate issue to be taught and transferred and deposited. What think ye of Christ? What do you think about Him as the Messiah? Do you believe He is the Son of God, and through faith alone in Him, you not only will have your sin problem solved, but you will have eternal life. What do you think? And if you say yes, then all of these assets become yours by which you may acquire the eternal Logos. But in the beginning, you knew none of these things. You didn't even know a language, although you're pre-programmed to understand one. None of this was available, but now you have the assets to acquire divine thought. This, to me, is phenomenal, and the fact that it actually occurs is a miracle if you look at it in the right way. Under the principle, then, of grace didactics, each person was able to go from status quo tabula rasa at physical birth all the way to a personal knowledge of the eternal Logos. It was true of the Christ child. It was true of the apostles. It was true of the second century pastors. It was true of all of the members of the congregations involved for the last two millennia. 5. What God has eternally known was replicated into the soul of the true humanity of Jesus Christ. Kenosis prevented Christ from learning from the omniscience of His deity. He could not borrow from that attribute of His essence in order to acquire knowledge. He had to learn it through the system, the prototype which we've been given, and the operational system. So what Christ learned during the incarnation, He was able to pass down to His disciples and His apostles. And He did that over a three-year period as best He could in that time frame. All could not be communicated, and thus we have the divine revelation of the New Testament Scripture. So, point 7. He replicated His knowledge of the mystery doctrines of the church age into Paul's soul, teaching him in the heavenly classroom of the Divine Academy. Paul was taken to the main campus, and he was taught mystery doctrines of the New Testament by the Chancellor of the Grace Academy. 8. Through grace didactics, Paul passed this doctrinal inventory on to Timothy, and Timothy on to others. Timothy was not the only one. We will note Silvanus probably on Tuesday. There are others like Apollos. There are other pastors mentioned by name. Epaphras. Other pastors are mentioned by name in Scripture. Paul taught them as well as did the other apostles. They replicated and they taught their congregation. Through grace didactics, Paul passed this doctrinal inventory on to Timothy and others. 9. These pastors of the second generation of the church age were under commission to replicate the eternal Logos into the souls of their congregations. You know that duty's been passed down to every pastor since. And when you get off, getting back as your source of knowledge to the living, the written Logos, you can't function as a pastor. And in your message, listen, your message is eventually going to be contorted to emphasize your relationship with man as a way of having a good relationship with God. If you get away from the written Logos, you're going to emphasize man before it's over. Why? Because you don't know anything about God and how He operates and what His plan is. So you feel like, well, if we're right with man, we're right with God. I read an article in the paper today, a 2-page spread in the Compost. It's on this pastor downtown. And it's about his ministry and how successful it is. And I'm thinking, well, that's good. But then I made the mistake of reading the article. And they actually have an excerpt of his sermons. Now, freedom of speech and it's his business and all of this, I only seek to point out the fact that he misses the gospel. The gospel, according to this man's excerpts from his sermon. Maybe, you know, we're dealing with the media here. So we cut the man some slack. The media don't have a clue of what the gospel is, usually. And so when they hear it told, they don't know what they've heard. So we're going to blame this on the writer, the little journalist. Down there and hung around with this fellow and interviewed him for a time. Then decided we'd do this 2-page spread on Reverend so-and-so. So we're going to say that the little journalist dude from Columbia has come over here and tried to write a religious article and doesn't know anything about theology. And he listens to the sermon and he interprets the sermon from human viewpoint. And from this human viewpoint, he quotes the pastor as saying that if all you do is help a family in need on Thanksgiving, that you in no way can get into heaven on a can of Del Monte beans. End quote. You cannot get into heaven by giving somebody a can of Del Monte beans. What passage is this? What has this got to do with getting into heaven? If you look, we can back a truckload of Del Monte beans up to any house you want to point to and unload it and feed it to them. We can put it in a Cuisinart, make pablum out of it, let them suck it through a straw. It has nothing to do with getting into heaven. So the pastors of the second generation of the church age were under the commission to replicate the eternal Logos into the souls of their congregation, not human viewpoint and evil. Point 10. We have described this process as Operation Hupotuposis, where I teach, you listen, you get the data, you have a replication in your neural network of the eternal Logos, all under the power of the Holy Spirit within the system provided. Operation Hupotuposis. Paragraph C, our conclusion of the sixth transfer. Under grace didactics, Paul was able to deposit his knowledge of the eternal Logos into Timothy's neural cache so that he might replicate its content into the souls of his congregation. Repeat. Under grace didactics, that's grace apparatus for perception, the Divine Academy. Under grace didactics, Paul was able to deposit his knowledge of the eternal Logos into Timothy's neural cache so that he, Timothy, might replicate its content into the souls of his congregation. Beneficial deposit, pastoral cache. On Tuesday, the seventh and final transfer, Operation Hupotuposis, replicated deposit, neural cache. Father, we're grateful to you for the power of the Word, which is made available to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and an impeccable system which guarantees that we can know your divine thought. May this be a motivation and an encouragement for us to continue to utilize the assets, to take advantage of the opportunities to learn, and to be patient with the idea of slow growth, that it's not an overnight trip from Kansas City to Santa Fe. There are many obstacles along the way, many challenges, many discouraging events, many surprises that were unsuspecting to us as we began the journey. But with the power of your Word in our soul, we may resolve these problems with problem-solving devices. We may make good decisions under pressure. And we may continue to grow in grace under the principle that knowledge is built on knowledge. Give us the motivation, the encouragement, and the stick-to-itiveness to stay on the trail and to continue our advance to the high ground of spiritual maturity. And we lift our prayers in the name of Christ our Savior. Caris human kai rene, plethun thai en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Dismissed.